Take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, to Luke 17. Luke 17, where we'll take for our reading this morning, verses 11 to 19. Hear the story, children, of Christ's cleansing of the 10 lepers, and so a reminder to us of the thankfulness that God requires of us, one that should not only be a requirement then, but a delight to us. Even as we open the third part of our catechism this morning, Lord's Days 32 and 33, that speaking of our gratitude. But here we read from Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. We pay special attention to the reading of God's word because it's that, the very word of God. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. We also hear from that summary of the word in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32 and 33, where we read from question and answers 86 through 91. So it's written there in Lord's Day 32, question 86, "We have been delivered from our misery by God's grace alone through Christ, and not because we have earned it. Why then must we still do good? To be sure, Christ has redeemed us by his blood, but we do good because Christ by his Spirit is also renewing us to be like himself, so that in all our living we may show that we are thankful to God for all that he has done for us, and so that he may be praised through us. And we do good so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and so that by our godly living our neighbors may be won over to Christ. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful ways and impenitent ways?" This is question 87. Which our answer is this: by no means. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like is going to inherit the kingdom of God. And Lord's Day 33, question 88 asks, what is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? Two things: the dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new. What is the dying away of the old self? It is to be genuinely sorry for sin, to hate it more and more, and to run away from it. What is the coming to life of the new self? It is wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to. What do we do that is good? Only that which arises out of true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for his glory, and not that which is based on what we think is right or on established human tradition. As far as the reading of God's word and of our confessions, let's seek his blessing together. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the summary of that word in the catechism. And so, Father, as you bring us now to this message of gratitude, of thanks, Father, may it be one that is near and dear to our hearts. That while we know our sin, while we know salvation in Jesus Christ, what does that need to look like? How does that need to flow forth from us? And so we pray, Father, that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our spirit would be pleasing to you, and that you would work this word in our hearts, so Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are many things that we as parents wish to teach our children before at some point they grow up and hopefully, millennials aside, leave us. And so we are constantly seeking to correct our children or to bring them, hey, this is what we do or this is how we mind ourselves. And one of those things that we wish to teach our children is this: please say thank you. Say thank you. Did you say thank you? We say it a lot. And that seems weird. It seemed weird as I wrote this sentence down. Weird as I'm saying it even now. We have to teach our children to say thank you. We don't have to teach them how to want things. We don't have to teach them to pitch a fit. We don't have to teach them to rebel against us. But we have to teach them to say thank you. When they receive something, we tell our kids, now say thank you. We tell them, you know what, grandma's really going to want to see that thank you note in the mail for what she gave you for Christmas. We tell them to say thank you at school, at work, at home. So think about that. We have to constantly insist on thankfulness. But yet as I consider my own life, I need more of that. You see, it's not just my kids that need to learn how to say thank you, but it's me. That as I consider the grace and glory of Jesus Christ, why am I not more free to say thank you? To say thank you in my words, to see it in my life. Am I showing other people how to be thankful? Thankful and full of gratitude. Because that's more than just about being polite. Yet we love politeness. But what we want is real grace. What we want is real gratitude. That thank you is the very basic and minimum response of that gratitude. And so maybe that's why we have such a problem with the third section of the catechism. Oh, pastor, preach on sin. Yeah, we like to feel guilty. We're brought to Christ again. We love. But how does this flower? How does gratitude flourish in our midst? For many well-intended Christians, intentioned Christians, are still living in such a way where they feel that the law forms the basis of their salvation. That though our Heavenly Father is just over our shoulder correcting us, commanding us to say thank you, but we never get it right that way. That if that's what we think about this third section, we don't get it. We don't understand what gratitude is about, nor those words, thank you. Because if that's the way it is, then we have not been captivated by the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ. That we have not come to understand the wonder of that salvation that we have spent these weeks speaking about. Hear it again. Christ has redeemed us by His blood. He's adopted us as His own. We're made His children. Granted an inheritance that will never fade, spoil, or perish. Kept in heaven for us. That we have hope now and later. That we're new. That His grace has changed everything. It's blessings so awesome and undeserved. And if we think about it that way, even just a little bit, aren't we compelled? Doesn't our heart start to well with, I want to say thank you? Because that's the thing, right? When we have to tell our kids to say thank you, oftentimes they don't want to. Maybe they don't understand what they've been given. But when they receive something that they do, I don't have to tell them because they already say it. There's that hug. There's that thanks. There's that reflection in their face and their body and everything of I am thankful for what is mine, for what you have given me. That as it comes to the doctrines of grace, we want to say thank you over and over again. Or do we think too little of the grace of Christ? Have we come to expect it instead of being thankful for it? He who has been forgiven much loves much, it says in the scriptures. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. And so what does gratitude look like in your life? As we embark in this study of the third section of the catechism, how do you see it? How do you know it? What fills your heart and mind when you think of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness? Maybe you need to be reminded to say thank you this morning. I know I do. But if the grace of Jesus Christ consumes us, then we desire nothing more to say thank you and to praise Him and be grateful to God for all that is ours in Christ, to go forth from this place living out that thanks. And if that's real for us, if that's really the way we live together, when we go forth from this place, that is going to change the world through the power of the Word and Spirit. So we see this morning that the Lord calls us and desires us to live lives of gratitude unto our salvation and the hope of the salvation of others. And that salvation, that grace, that gratitude is to be heard in our words and seen in our lives by way of renewal, by way of reassurance, and by way of reach. But first, renewal, because there's certainly any number of passages that we could turn to in the Scriptures to unfold what gratitude is to be about, that which the Lord rightly deserves from His people. However, the account of the lepers being healed in Luke 17 gives us an understanding of something very, very tangible, very real life. Health that was given to these men, something that should have evoked from them a hearty amount, an enormous amount of thanks for what Christ had done for them. Although sometimes when we speak of salvation or of the blessings that are ours in Christ, sometimes because we talk too much about them being future, we're not thinking about those blessings now. So thank you for salvation while you're already living that now. At least we should be in Christ. And so what these lepers needed, and really what we need this morning, is renewal. To be renewed under the promise of God, to be renewed to the wonder of what Christ has done for us. Because what these men are crying out for is not just the healing of a skin disease. They're calling out for salvation. What they're dealing with separated them from God and His people. Can't go to the temple. Can't be near my family. Have to yell out all the time, unclean, unclean, so that people wouldn't come near me. These are the ones that Jesus meets with. 10 lepers lifting up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. They saw it as they went. At His very word, they went out and were clean, leprosy fading away till it was no more. They could see it. I'm clean. What a source of rejoicing that should be. But there's that word again. Should. This should be what comes out. That we as Christians, this gratitude is what should come out. For we have a far more serious plight than that of leprosy. Because we're sinners in need of salvation. That's what I need to be renewed from more. That's what I need to be forgiven from. That I am one broken in every way, needing to be saved, restored to true righteousness and holiness. And when we are, when we pray to the Lord in repentance, clean. As I go away, I know I'm forgiven, ransomed, restored, cleansed in the blood and righteousness of Christ. This is mine. Clean. But then we sin again. And we sin again. And we're sinned against. And our lives hurt. And our hearts hurt. And maybe after a time we don't see the change that Jesus Christ has worked in us in the same way that the lepers could when they were changed. We fall to our knees praying that the Lord would restore to us the joy of our salvation, that He would grant us a willing spirit to sustain us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Yet what? Our inner self is being renewed day by day. You see, when we look at our flesh sometimes, we see decay. We're getting older. those aches and pains maybe. We look at our lives and we see the decisions that we've made and the brokenness. We see our sin and come face to face with it. And yet when we confess our sins, He cleanses us. We're made new again. We're made whole again. See, even though this body's fading away, I'm new. I'm clean. He's renewing me even now in His image by way of His promise. And I see that renewal when I examine my life according to His word, according to the promises of it. And when we're reminded of that, of what Christ has done, of how we've been made new in Him, we want to serve Him. We want to rejoice in Him. We want to praise Him. We want to thank Him. That's why we desire to do good works. Deeds committed unto the glory of Christ and His promises. And we do so because He's renewing us to be like Himself. You see, that's the tragedy when we see our lives and there's no good work. That's the tragedy of a life where we claim, this is what Christ has done for me. This is what He's lived and died for me. And now my life looks no different. Certainly not clean. And yes, we know we're renewed to understand that our good works don't save us. That we must never make our good works a part of why we believe that we are saved. That we're made right with God. Because that standing, that adoption is all of His love. It's all of His grace. We do good because we've been redeemed. We're bought at a great price. And because of what we have been saved and delivered from, it's joy. It's joy. And you say, Pastor, I'm struggling with that. I will confess to you, congregation, that is the biggest struggle for me. Joy. How do we find it in our serving and living before God? How do we know that joy renewed again? And it's coming again to the cross. It's coming again to Christ and acknowledging this is what You have done. And this is how You have saved me. And this is how You've cleansed me. And this is how You're changing me. And I want to know more of it. Gratitude is part of that renewal. And as we test and approve what God's will is, we come to know more of that which is pleasing to Him. More of the ways that we might thank Him for the sheer grace of saving us. And so we do good because it allows us to know in a fuller way all that Christ has done for us. Is that what you see in your life? That kind of serving, that kind of joy? Is that what others can see? Because gratitude flows from renewal, but it's also given to us as a sign of reassurance. Because when we know what's been given to us, we know that it is still ours and that it's always going to be ours. That as we've been saved in Christ, that's never going to be taken away from us. You see, it's hard to be thankful for something that's changed our life, but then is quickly taken away. It's hard to be thankful if we're not sure we will continue to possess, what's been given. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. One of the lepers looked down and saw what happened. He was clean. And maybe the questions start, is this real? Has this really happened? And would such wonderful good news continue to be true? And so in being overwhelmed by what's happened, what does he do? He runs back to Jesus. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. One whom was led to believe by the Jews that he was outside of the people of God. A veritable Gentile. A Samaritan. He could not help but give testimony of the praise and thanks of God. He can't close his mouth because it's too full of rejoicing and wonder. What a blessed response. What awesomeness. Coming back to Jesus, throwing himself at the Savior's feet, humbling himself in love, knowing that he needs to remain near to Christ if his blessing of grace is going to continue to be shown in his life. Who recognizes there is no life, there is no joy, there is no thanks apart from Christ. Again, we've been saved from much more. Delivered from our sins. Delivered from the curse of death and hell. Salvation is ours in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And that's the message we proclaim. That's what we shout for. That's what we live out. But that's when Satan, our sin, and our flesh seek to rob us of that joy and comfort. Because we examine our hearts and say, yeah, but I'm a sinner. And look how I mess up. And look how I struggle. We begin to struggle. Is this good news mine? Is it good news at all? Struggling, am I good enough? Have I done enough? We struggle with guilt. The temptation to take credit for what we are and who we are instead of giving glory to God. We lift voices in praise, and yet, if we're truly believers in the saving power of grace, grace to change us through and through, then what are we going to do? We're going to run to Christ. We're going to run to Jesus again and again. And again, we're going to lay ourselves before him in prayer and in thanks. Jesus Christ, continue to cleanse me. Call me your own. Love me and show me how I am to live for you. We run to Christ to be reassured again that he has done for us. That which he has done for us is still for us. Still working in us. And how do we know it? By their fruits, you will know them. By the fruit of our lives, there's going to be fruit of reassurance. My lacrosse coach in high school would have said it this way: if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck and acts like a duck, it's probably a duck. If Jesus Christ has changed us through his blood and forgiven us of our sins, if we're Christians, then we're going to act like it and talk like it and walk like it. And when we see that and recognize that, praise be to God, you're working exactly what you promised. He calls us to this, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That if we love Jesus Christ, we're going to fall at his feet and desire in all things to follow him, because that's what we want with the deepest desires of our hearts. And what is that then? That's the coming to life of the new self. Wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to. Wholehearted joy in obedience, in assurance, seeing that which he is working in us, seeing that fruit of the Spirit in us, like love, joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That when we see these things in greater measure, there is reassurance for us, and it's going to go farther than us, right? Because that kind of life, that kind of joy, starts to reach out to other people. They're going to see it. Because in our culture, right, if you say thank you, I notice that oftentimes at restaurants, especially for my kids, if they say thank you, there's almost a, what did you say? Saying thank you always gets noticed. It's a key point, really. In this day and age, people are shocked by it, certainly, but we can be sure that living thankfully is something much more rare and much more noticeable. In the Samaritan leper's case, how could Jesus not notice the man's praise. Loud voice, kneeling before him, can't stop saying thank you. But what was Jesus' answer? Weren't there 10? Where are the 9? Where are the other ones who have been cleansed? Where is their joy? Where is their hope? How have they been renewed? What is their assurance? Look at this one. He's the only one to come back, but his thanks are received. And it's powerful. And do you believe that he would have gone from there and told everybody, this is what's been done for me? In full bore thanks and praise? Of course. So what about us? Is that our life of faith? Is the kind of life that we're living giving testimony to what the Lord has done and why the Lord must be praised? Jesus could see it in the Samaritan. Rise, go. Your faith has made you well. You believe it. You believe in me. And yet that faith that the Lord has given to this man as a gift is to the praise of his glory. Rise and go. Go and tell everybody what I've done. You've been touched by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show forth his grace. Show forth his love. That life-giving power in the midst of darkness. That which has healed you. So that's what we're called to. That after falling again at the feet of Jesus Christ this day, having worshiped, our hearts and minds changed, reassured of the gospel promise that is yes and amen in Jesus Christ, in gratitude and service, in delight, we're called to go. When was the last time you called your serving in the church a delight? A joy? Delight. Because we live in a world in it but not of it. For what purpose? It's that great last line in question and answer 86. So that by our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ. If this is just duty for us and burden, I wouldn't want that. The world doesn't want that either. And we don't have that to give them because we have grace. Are we light of the world? Are we shining forth with that? Because people need to hear it, right? Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous person, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like is going to inherit the kingdom of God. If we're thankful for what Christ has done for us, why would we not long that such wonder and grace would be worked out in the lives of others too? Are you overwhelmed by the grace and love of Christ? Are you overwhelmed by what he's done in your heart and your life? If that's the case, it should be seen in how you live. It should be seen in how you worship. It should be known in the words of the gospel that you speak into the lives of others. Because they need it. They need to hear it. That the Lord may use our gratitude not only to our salvation, but to the salvation of others. And so Paul says it this way as we close, Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That is the way of gratitude, that we may say today, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.